the reading of the Scripture, if you'll take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, Revelation chapter 21, and we'll be reading responsively verses 9 through 16, the 9th through the 16th verses of the 21st chapter of Revelation, reading the verses responsively. And shall we stand, please, everyone standing, for the reading of God's Word. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And the text is taken from that last verse we read. These words, the length and the breadth and the height of it, are equal. And let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this good day. From the standpoint of weather, it's good. From the standpoint, especially, the fact that we're privileged together here with these friends makes it so wonderful. And we thank you for thy people and for this place to meet and for the fact that we're blessed in this place from time to time. And once again, we would seek thy blessing, thy spirit, and thy power in our midst, that thou wouldst work a work within our hearts and our lives, even today. God bless the preaching, the preacher, and especially help each and every individual, every one of them so important to thee, and so meet every need of every person. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are all kinds of people here this morning. There are so many different areas of life represented. There are some this morning in this room who drove Lincoln Continentals or Cadillacs to park in our lots. And there are others who've never probably ridden in a car that had a heater in it. There are some this morning who came from carpeted homes, elaborately decorated with tapestry, the loveliest of draperies. For others of you who have your broken window boarded up with a piece of pasteboard, there's some of you this morning who have on expensive clothing purchased at the finest tailors. There are others of you who've never owned a new garment in your life. There's some of you this morning whose signature on a check could transfer hundreds of thousands of dollars from one bank to another. And there's some of you today who do not know what you'll have to eat when you get home. There's some of you tonight who will sleep in the loveliest of surroundings, the softest of beds, most comfortable of comforts. And there's some of you tonight who will wrap a sheet around you in the barracks of a rescue mission and try to find rest. But there's one thing we all have in common. It matters not if we're the owner of the store, the fellow who sweeps it out. We're all here on this planet, stuck to a round ball going round and round in space. And we don't know much about where we are. We don't know much about where we came from or from whence we came. And though we can know we're going to heaven, we do not know where heaven is or exactly what it's like. We all have the same frustrations. The fellow this morning who's in the Benson or the nicest of suits has the same fearful heart as the person who's here in a suit that someone got him from Goodwill Industries or the rescue mission. Now, if you would, for 30 minutes, I'd like to tell you what I think life is all about, honestly. Now, you may not agree with me as to what I'm going to say, but would you hear me out? Let me give you what I think. Look, we're stuck here for 30 minutes anyway, and these seats are not very comfortable on which to rest or sleep. There's no place to put your head. You got to hold it up. You may as well listen. And by the way, what I'm going to say this morning just may well change your whole life. Please give me a hearing. Don't turn me off. Let me have a chance to tell you. I have no desire to get anything from you. The offering's already been taken. We'll not pass the plates again. I'm not going to try to get you to become a Baptist. I wouldn't get out of bed to make a Baptist out of you. I'd stay awake all night to make a Christian out of you. So, hear me out this morning. You read it in the newspapers, what life is all about, how to have a life that's fulfilling. You find it on magazine stands, what it's all about, and how to have a life that's fulfilling. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the well-rounded life, or I could call it, if you'd like, the three greatest discoveries that man can ever find. Here's the text. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. Give me a hearing, would you? And now let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do not ask this morning for a good sermon. That's a byproduct. That's secondary. But I do ask that somebody shall speak through me to the hearts of the people today. Ah, that marvelous, wonderful, heavenly dove who many years ago lighted on this poor, feeble preacher and has spoken what I could not speak. It's caused people to feel what I could not make them feel and do what I could not make them do. That somebody who has indwelt me for these many years and empowered me for these few years, may he speak today. Please may the people listen as unto eternity. Amen. God is a symmetrical God. One of the most interesting things you'll find in the Bible is how many of God's creations, how much of God's creation, about which it can be said, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. For example, the New Jerusalem. Read about it a while ago. 12,000 furlongs is its length. 12,000 furlongs its width. 12,000 furlongs its height. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. When God instructed Moses to instruct his people to build the tabernacle, he instructed them to make a holy of holies, the most sacred spot on the face of the earth in Moses' day. A spot where no man could walk except one, and he one time a year, and that on the 10th day of the 7th month to bring an offering, or bring the blood of the offering. A place where God dwelt among men. The Bible says that little Holy of Holies was 15 feet wide, 15 feet long, and 15 feet high. The length, the breadth, and the height were equal. Now think a minute. The earth on which we dwell, the length and the breadth and the height of this earth are equal. The sun that gives us light by day is a sphere. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. The moon that gives us light by night, the lesser light that rules the night, is a sphere, a ball. The length, the breadth, and the height of it are equal. The stars that give us romance, excitement, and tranquility by night are round spheres. And about each star it can be said, the length and the height, and the breadth and the height of it are equal. The entire planetary system is composed of planets about which it can be said, the length and breadth and height of it are equal. In Ephesians 3:18, we read about the length of God's love, the breadth of God's love, the depth and the height of God's love. You see, God is a symmetrical God, and God wants each of His creations to have a length and a breadth and a height that are equal. Now, if God would make the earth symmetrical, as far as length and height and breadth are concerned, and if God would make the sun, the moon, and the stars likewise, does it not seem normal to you that God would want His outstanding creation to have the same quality? You see, God wants your life and mine to have a length and a breadth and a height that are equal. Now, hear me. Give me a chance to talk to you. The first thing, the length. One of the greatest discoveries you'll ever make is this. The length of your life. No, I don't mean the duration of your life. I do not mean how long that you will live. I mean the length of your life in this. There is a length of a journey that God wants you to take. There is a purpose for your existence. There is a reason why you are here. Brother Colston prayed so well a while ago. He said, everybody here is important. And that's true. That little child this morning who has his toe sticking through his shoes is as important as the most well-known preacher in this room today. That little bus kid this morning trying to listen or sit up straight and look over the shoulder of the big person in front of you. Hear what the preacher says. You're just as important to God as the wealthiest man in this room this morning. And that rescue mission man that went to bed last night wondering where his children are, if ever see them again, and wondering where it all started and why it all happened and where he started his trek downward. That rescue mission man is just as important in the sight of God as the most important PhD in this house today. I'm simply saying that you are somebody, and God has a purpose for your being here. You're no uh-oh with God. You're no accident with God. When you breathe your first breath and the doctor spanked you and bathe you, and they put in the nursery there a little garment of some kind on you, the God who made you had a purpose for your life. There is a length He has in mind for you. There is a road He intends for you to travel. The most important discovery, one of the three most important discoveries you'll ever make in your life, is the discovery, what is the purpose for my being on this earth? The pursuing of God's will, the finding of God's plan, that awakening, that fascinating discovery that tells you what your purpose is. Where you can say, ah, here it is. This is what I was meant to be. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I do not claim to be a good preacher. I am not, by any matter of means, a great preacher. But there's one thing I know and have known for all these years, and that is that God in heaven made me to be a preacher. I'm standing this morning at the very spot on this earth where God wants me to be standing this morning. Oh, that's a marvelous discovery. When you discover that purpose for your existence, maybe God made you to be a doctor.
Maybe God made you to be a lawyer. Maybe God made you to be a factory worker. Maybe God made you to be a housewife. Maybe God made you to rear some child, as did Susanna Wesley, to be a great man of God. But there is a purpose for your being here. That little child tucked away back in the corner, I cannot see him. I don't know his name. I don't know who he is. I don't know where you're from. I don't know the circumstances of your life. But that little child way back in the corner some of this morning, God has a purpose for your life. There is a reason for your being here. Oh, let me tell you, find it. Find it. There's a will for your life, and you find it. That's the length of life, the path that you travel, down which you do find and do the will of God. Like a train following a track that sweeps through the little towns, plunges through the big cities, and climbs the mountains, and lunges down into valleys, and hides itself in forests, and flashes again through broad plains, and tight ropes across mighty rivers, and crosses happy lakes. It is destined to arrive at the mighty Pacific Ocean one day, and so through the village it goes, up on the mountain, through the mountain it goes, and down in the valley it goes, and through the gorge it goes, and around the lake it goes, and across the river it goes. It has tracks all laid out, and those tracks lead it to its destination. Even so, God has tracks made for my life, and I'm to follow those tracks. Matters not what I do, matters not where I go, matters not how much money I have, matters not how famous I am, matters not how many degrees I have. There's only one thing important to me, and that is, am I pursuing God's will for my life? The length of life, the length of life. Oh, the happy time when you will discover God's purpose for you. I was studying these things about God's symmetry. About God's the link, how God creates the length and the breadth and the height equally. I had some books on the airplane flying down Indianapolis where I spoke for Dr. Greg Dixon on Friday night. Caught a plane at 320 at O'Hare Field. Allegheny Airlines. My seat was seat 2B. Got on the plane, sat down in my seat, and right beside me was a lovely young lady. About 9 years of age. As cute as she could be. I looked there, and she's traveling by herself. And I said, it's always my good luck. I get to sit beside the pretty gal. And she grinned and blushed a little bit, and I sat down beside her. And I sat there a little while, and I punched her like that. And I said, pardon me, lady, I have a nervous elbow. It flies up like that every once in a while. You have to pardon me. And so she said, I have one, too. And it flew up that way like that, you know. And so we got to chit-chatting. And I said, where are you going? And she said, I'm going to see my daddy. Well, I knew immediately there was something. I'm going to see my daddy. I've been there. When I was a boy, I was there. I had always to go to see my daddy, and my daddy never got to come home to see me because of a broken home. I knew something was wrong. And I said, oh, good. I said, what is your daddy like? And she said, I don't know. I haven't seen him since I was 4 months old. I said, you haven't seen your daddy since you were 4 months old? No. How long do you plan to be with your daddy? And she said, I'm going to live with my daddy. That told me something else. There was some reason why somebody back home didn't want her. Hadn't seen him since she was 4 months old. She's going to live with her daddy. And I said, where does your daddy live? She said, I don't know. What does your daddy do? I don't know. She had about as much purpose in life as you do, and if you. I mean, these aimless lives that swing like a pool instead of flowing like a river toward the ocean with no purpose, not going anywhere. Oh, let me say again, the first discovery of magnitude, not the most important, the first big discovery of magnitude is this. Where am I going and what is God's will for my life? That's number one. The length. I hasten to say there's also the breadth. Now what am I saying about this? A life should have length, and that's following God's will, pursuing God's plan, having God's purpose in your life, going down toward the will of God and through God's will. But there's a breadth. You see, some have length, but no breadth. They live as if they were the only human beings on the face of the earth. All other people are like wooden rounds on a ladder on which they climb to success. They're wrapped up in themselves in purses of leather. And breath is not known. But ladies and gentlemen, oh, if I could just reach out and shake you right here. Did you know when you find that length of life, what would God have me do? Then God wants you to have breadth of life. What does that mean? It means as you do God's will, make your life broad and wide to include the satisfying and fulfilling of the needs of others. Lord, let me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Lord, let me live for others that I may live like thee. It is a marvelous discovery when you find out there's a whole world out there and that world needs you. And the reason God has a length for your life is that you might use it as a breadth for your life to serve other people. Let me go back to the airplane. I sat down in seat 2B. It was Allegheny Airlines. You folks who fly Allegheny know that the first two seats in Allegheny face each other. When you walk, get in front of the airplane, walk back, the first seat faces backward. There's a table there, and then there's a seat that faces forward so four people can sit facing each other. And so I sat down in 2B facing that way. This little girl was sitting over here, and the two gentlemen sitting across the table. And one fellow right across from me began to look at me. And he had an interesting look on his face, and he said, "Look, sir, are you Dr. Jack Hiles?" And I said, "I'm Brother Hiles." And he said, "I've heard you preach many times." I said, "What is your name?" He told me. "Where are you going?" He told me. He said, "I used to go to Maranatha Baptist Bible College." He said, "I had to drop out." And I said, "Why?" And he moistened his cheek with a tear. And he said, "Our little baby contracted leukemia." And he said, "I had to drop out because of the doctor bills and hospital bills." I saw that little baby meet him at the airport when he got off the airplane. And he said, "I had to drop out, had to get me a job." And he said, "I want to go back to school. I'd just like another year," I think he said, "on my master's degree. Then I want to get out in the ministry. God's called me to preach, and I'm making some money trying to pay the bills, but I'm not happy. I've got to get back to school. I've got to get out in the ministry." Now, there are four people of us sitting there. I was sitting here, little girl sitting here, other fellow sitting here, this fellow sitting across from me. And two of those people needed me. Two out of the three needed me. I said, "How much would it take you? How much do you owe?" He said, "I've got to pay my bill at Maranatha." And I said, "How much is it?" He said, $600. I'll give you two guesses how he's going to get that $600. I never met him before, but God let me cross his path for a while. And here beside me was a little girl that needed somebody to punch her with the elbow, somebody to be punched by her elbow, and somebody to tousle her on the... And a lady came by and said, "Sweetheart, you want anything to drink?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, "I wasn't talking to you." I said, "I know it, but it sure sounded good anyway." And I said, "Neither does my friend want anything to drink either." I do. "Yes, I do. I know." She didn't want it. And so she needed somebody to cheer her. And I said, "Why did you leave your mother?" And then a quivering lip and a moistened eye. And I thought I'd said enough. Three people flew with me. One little girl to live with a daddy she'd never known to see you. Remember? And running, going from a mother who perhaps didn't want her or maybe was too sick to keep her. And across was a man whose heart was broken because his baby had leukemia. Oh, listen to me, folks. Listen to me. Out yonder in this old world, it's a pool of tears and a river of tears and a world of broken hearts. in this room this morning. Oh, this is the sea of faces, and we laugh together, and we sing together, and rejoice together, and yet every one of us has behind his breast a heart that's broken and a burden on his back that's almost too heavy to carry. There's got to be a great army of people who get broad enough to reach out and lift the burdens of other people. The length, that's God's will. The breadth, that's living for somebody else. Get outside of yourself. Forget your own needs. Forget your own burden. Forget your own heartache. Forget your own sorrow. Forget your own load. And lengthen and widen. And as you serve in the will of God for your life and find God's mighty purpose for your life, live it, reaching out to carry others' burdens and living for somebody else. Years ago, when God called me to preach, I was the least likely prospect to be a preacher you could imagine. But I knew God wanted me to be a preacher. A dream began to swell in my breast that someday I'd be right here. I dreamed one night when I had an illness, I dreamed that I had a great crowd of people and a great sea of faces like this. And though I was a bit introverted and weighed 93 pounds and 17 years of age, I knew God wanted me to open the Bible someday and preach to great crowds like this. I knew it. And I had a dream there. I knew that's what I was made for. I knew that was the purpose of my life. But I couldn't see how to get there. I failed public speaking in high school because I could not make a speech. They gave up on me almost the first year of college and said, "You'll never make it." But beating in my breast was that awareness that God made me to be a preacher. And beating in my breast was that awareness that God was someday going to make me a preacher. First sermon I preached lasted for 3 minutes. I sat down in failure, stuttered and stammered for 3 minutes, and apologized to people and sat down in failure. But I knew I couldn't preach, but I also knew I was made to preach. I knew I wasn't able to preach, but I knew I was made to preach. That's why I was here. That's the purpose of my life. There's something else. Once you've discovered the length of your life, that is the purpose for your existence. There's something else that God taught me one day. I knew I was to be a preacher, but I wanted to be a preacher, and I wanted to be a good preacher. And I wanted to be a successful preacher. But one day something else just dawned on me that's one of the most marvelous discoveries you'll ever make. And that is, it's not the sermon I preach that's important, it's the people I help that's important. One day it dawned on me, it's not my accomplishments that are important, it's my contributions that are important. One day it dawned on me, there's a world out yonder full of heartache and tears and sorrow and sadness. Please, please, please don't think I'm boasting. So often, when I tell you things like the Apostle Paul said, he said, "I could wish that you were as myself, except in these bonds." I want to use illustrations like this to tell you that you meet people too. The other day I was at the airport. A fellow there said, "Could you give me a change for a dollar?" I reached my pocket and I said, "No, I don't have it." I said, "Why do you need it?" He said, "I've got to make a long distance phone call." I said, "Could I give you a dime?" He said, "No, I need more than that." I found out he only had a dollar, not enough to make the phone call anyway. Now, please, please don't think I'm boasting. I'm trying to show you something. I said, "What's the number you want to call?" He told me. "What's the area code?" He told me. I dialed the number, charged it to my credit card, gave him the telephone. "Oh, you say you're bragging." No, I'm not bragging. God knows I'm not. I'm giving far more than I give. But I'm simply saying, I don't care where you are, at the airport, at the bus station, on the airplane. I don't care where you are. If you will say with the grace of God in my life as I pursue God's perfect plan for my life, I'm going to broaden myself. God will bring people under the canopy of your love that needs you and need help, and people that you can help on your way to heaven. Broaden your life. And then may I say thirdly, the link. Breadth, but that isn't enough. There's also the height. Many possess length and breadth, but are creatures wholly of the earth. Their world is without a sky. They never look up and have no upward windows whatsoever. Never stop to think there's a God up there. Their breadth, length, they want to do what their purpose in life. Their breadth, they're even willing to do some benevolent work to help others. But they've never looked up to right themselves with their God and their Creator. Listen, folks. I don't care who you are. And I'm not preaching. I'm trying to help you. I don't care who you are. If you
will find the purpose for your existence. Length.
And if you will help others as you fulfill that purpose, breadth. And if you will rightly relate yourself with your Creator through Jesus Christ, height. You will have found the life that is well-rounded. The height, the length, and the depth of it are equal. Length without breadth and height is selfishness. Length and breadth without height is socialism. Breadth without length and height is shallowness. Breadth and height without length is failure. Height without length and breadth is wastefulness. Length plus breadth, breadth plus height equals satisfaction. The stewardess had a $5 bill that had fallen on the floor. The little girl saw it, and I saw it, and I said, shh. And I got the $5 bill, and I gave it to the little girl quickly, and I said, stewardess, there's a thief on the plane. And the stewardess said, oh. And the little girl said, he did it, he did it, he did it. And the little girl said to me, listen, she said, mister, Christians don't steal, do they? You see, I'd been talking to this fellow across the way about Jesus and the work of God. And I said, honey, Christians shouldn't steal. I said, are you a Christian? And she said, no, sir. My mommy won't let me be. And I said, where do you go to church? And she said, we don't believe in going to church. My daddy doesn't believe in that. And my heart broke in two. She knew Christians didn't steal, except on Sunday morning at offering time. She knew Christians are different, but she wasn't allowed to be. But you're allowed to be. Folks, listen, I'm through. There's a lot more in life than you're just eating and drinking and buying and selling. Many of you folks this morning came to the service because somebody begged you to come and invited you to come, or maybe to receive a free Bible. There's more to life than that. There's a reason for your existence. There's a will for your life. There's a purpose for your being here. And there's a breadth of others who need you. And as you pursue the will of God, hey, as you're that train plunging down into valleys and rising around upon the hillsides and plunging through big cities and tiptoeing around timid ponds, as you're that train headed for the Pacific Ocean, the destination, hey, don't forget to stop and pick up the passengers along the way. Or the purpose for your going to the Pacific Ocean will be needless and not met. Don't forget. Look up to God. There are three things which you're made. Three reasons for your existence. I don't care who you are. Three reasons. One is length. One is breadth, and one is height. God made you to fulfill His purpose. God made you, as you fulfill that purpose, to fill the needs of others with whom you come in contact. And God made you for Himself. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. I'm 52 years old. I know. I don't look it. I knew it. I knew what you were saying. I could feel that across the audience going like a mighty fire. No. Yeah, I really am. I'm 52 years of age. Believe me when I say, folks, please listen and I'll quit. I found the answer. I really have. I found what the psychiatrist is looking for. I found what the crazy guy wrote that article on how to have peace is looking for as he took his pills while he was writing the article. I found the answer. told my people this many times. I was preaching up in Hazel Park, Michigan, Calvary Baptist Church there many years ago. It was a Saturday night. They didn't have air conditioning then. They built a new auditorium since, but didn't have air conditioning. The church was located on a freeway, a giant freeway, one of the big freeways through the Detroit area. People out there Saturday night, folks driving, and I was preaching, and I got carried away. I absolutely got carried away. I don't know why. But I got to thinking while I was preaching, all those people out there trying to find something, and I found it. Blessed be God. I found what they're looking for. And I got carried away. And before I knew it, I ran over to the window, and people thought I was crazy, as folks often do. And I ran to the window, and I stood over here, and I said, "Hey! I finished preaching. Rushed out to get in the car to be whisked quickly over to the airport, Metropolitan Airport, to fly back to Chicago on Saturday night. I meant that I'd found what the dope addict is looking for as he puts the needle in his arm. I meant I found what the alcoholic is looking for as he raises the bottle to his lips. I found it. I found the pearl of greatest price, eternal life, so rare. Through the Savior's sacrifice, I found it. I found it. I started to get in the car. An old man walked up, stoop-shouldered. His hair was long and rather filthy. His beard was several days' length. And the old man said, "Sir, are you the fellow that was hollering in there a while ago in that room?" And I said, "Sir, we call it preaching." And he says, "Are you the fellow that screamed out the window, 'I found it! I found it!'" I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Sir, what did you find?" And I told him the wonderful story of love. "Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it, and shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love." I was doing the will of God in preaching that night. That's the height, the length. I stopped on the way to the airport to tell an old man about Jesus. That's the breadth. And told him how he could go to heaven. And that's the height. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the happy life is. The person that has height without length and breadth is an ascetic. The person that has breadth without length and height is a humanist. A person that has length without breadth and height is selfish. A person that has length and breadth and height, he's found it. He's found it. This morning, if you're here and you've never yet found it, start with the height. Look up to God and say, "Dear God, I need to relate myself with you. I need to properly relate myself with you. And I do come this morning believing that I'm a sinner and that Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary for sinners. And I accept you through your Son Jesus as my hope for heaven. I'm not much, but I'm yours. I'm not not rich, but I'm yours. I'm not mighty, but I'm yours. I'm not wealthy, but I'm yours. I'm not talented, but I'm yours. And I receive you as my Savior." That's the height. And then go home and get on your knees and say, "Dear God, show me your will for my life." That's the link. And then say, "God, may folks cross my path who need my help, and may I be willing to help them." That's the breath. Build you a life like all of God's creation, where the height, the length, and the breadth, the height of it are equal.